and my miserable sins. And we need to be up front and know about what Jesus has done for us and how His blood formed the new covenant to wash away our sins. Have your Bibles today. Turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 14 through 28. Hebrews 9, 14 through 28. We'll probably stop around verse 22 and we'll save the rest for next week. Yes, Jesus' blood is God's provision for our sin problem. Now, we've talked about the old covenant and the new covenant. Over this past few verses, we've covered these chapters in Hebrews, we've seen where the old covenant was replaced by the new covenant. That'll static everybody up a little bit, won't it? Now, the old covenant that God made with the nation of Israel was replaced with the new covenant. Well, blood has always been a part of the covenant that God has laid out with people. It's always been a part of it. And it's very important that we grasp the understanding of why blood is so vital to these covenants. It's always been vital. Old Testament, New Testament. Think about it. All four Gospels make clear the necessity of Jesus' blood to be shed for our sin. Matter of fact, the book of Acts, the apostles preach the crucifixion and shedding of blood of Jesus and the resurrection. Apostle Paul said, "We preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block for the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles." Matter of fact, John even writes in Revelation, referencing Jesus as the Lamb of God 31 times just in that one book. Jesus referenced His blood at the Last Supper that He spent with His disciples that we celebrate as the Lord's Supper. In Mark 14, 24, He said to them, "This is My blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many." To be washed in the blood of the Lamb means that God has had mercy upon us through grace and the power of the Holy Spirit, and He applies the blood of Jesus to our sin and removes them permanently, past, present, and future. We sing those beautiful hymns about Jesus' blood. You remember some of these. "There's power in the blood. Oh, there's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb." You remember those. Maybe, "Are you washed in the blood? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb?" Or, "There's a fountain. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins." Or, "Nothing but the blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." My Uncle Kenny taught me that song on the piano with one finger. I love that song, "Nothing but the blood." See, the defining characteristic of true Christianity is that God sent His Son Jesus as a perfect Lamb who shed His blood on the cross for sinners like you and like me. So what does that tell us? That God is repulsed, God is offended, God is divinely angry because of sin and sinners. Sin needs to be dealt with. You and I are sinners who are headed to hell unless we are saved by the blood of Jesus. So the first part of Hebrews chapter 9 draws this comparison and contrast between the old covenant that God made with the nation of Israel and the new covenant in Jesus Christ, and compares the two, and blood was always represented. See, the old covenant that Israel had dealt with the externals and not with the heart of men. So sin was only covered and not washed away. See, the old covenant was a foreshadow of what Jesus would do in completion to the new covenant, that purchased by his blood as a ransom for all who would repent and come by faith to him. So in this passage we read today, we'll pull out several vital truths that we need to understand about the blood of Jesus. So we read from verse 14 on down to verse 22. Tying in from last week, the writer of Hebrews says, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? For this reason, he is a mediator of a new covenant, so that since a death has taken place for the redemption of the trespasses or transgressions that were committed, which the first covenant, those who have been called, may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. For where a covenant is, there must of necessity be the death of the one who made it. For a covenant is valid only when men are dead. For it is never enforced while the one who made it lives. Therefore, even the first covenant was not inaugurated without blood. For when every commandment had been spoken by Moses to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of the calves and of the goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the covenant which God commanded you. And in the same way, he sprinkled both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry with the blood. And according to the law, one may almost say, all things are cleansed with blood, and without shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. Let's pray together. Father God, today, trying to wrap our minds around all the things that happened in, to Christ and the necessity of his death and his blood being shed for us. God, we don't understand it all, but we're here with open hearts and open minds to begin to grasp a little bit more of the necessity that Jesus had to die for us. And that blood that he shed on Calvary's cross made that atonement for our sins. Oh God, let us not walk in ignorance. Let us not walk in apathy. But let us walk with understanding and a deeper walk with you. Holy Spirit, you have your freedom to move in this service, in Jesus' name. Amen. So there are several things that we need to see from this passage that are they're really good truths for us to learn and to incorporate into our understanding of what Jesus did in our behalf. The first one is this, that God paid his own penalty for our sin. Check that out. That God paid his own penalty for your sin than for my sin. That God did it for us. That God was the only one qualified to pay the penalty for our sin. And he did it in our behalf. Verse 14 says, in how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Listen, verse 14 is packed with some wonderful things. And I hope I can break it down enough, a little bit enough, so we can grasp how God, in it, as the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, work together to bring your salvation in mind. Verse 14 reveals how Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are united in essence, working fully together in purpose. God is one in essence, and when he acts in relation to things outside himself, each of the three persons of the Trinity act inseparably with the others. The oneness of God means that the attributes of the three persons are identical. Father, Son, Holy Spirit all have the same will, all have the same wisdom, all have the same power, same holiness. You cannot even distinguish between the three persons of the Trinity. Each person exercises the same divine attributes, but each person, each one, does so in a manner that is peculiar to his person. In atonement for our sins, think about it. Jesus worked in unison with the Father and with the Spirit. Although it is the incarnate Son touching his human nature who atones for our sin, all three persons work inseparably to effect the atonement that secures our salvation. All three work together. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Verse 14 shows it to us right in front of us. A lot of times we'll read over that and just that, read over it very lightly as we go to the next verse. But there's so much here. See, both Father and Son offer up the Son for our redemption. The Father as the subject who offers, and the Son as both the subject who offers and the object who, touching his human nature, is offered. And when the Father and the Son offer up the Son, they do so in the Spirit, who by effective power, there's a big word there, efficacious power, but what it really means is through effective power of the Holy Spirit makes Christ's death as a man under the divine wrath of God saving for us. What Jesus did on the cross, God in Christ presented himself on the cross to die for our sins. The Holy Spirit took the blood of Jesus and applied it to your sin to wash them away. Praise God. Atonement for sin is from the Father through the blood of the Son, who is offered in the Spirit for our secure salvation. Whoo! That's a lot in one verse. That's deep. We set the plow deep this morning for that one verse. So if God can save humanity from sin, then why through blood? God is God. God is God of creation. He created all things. He is one who is in charge. He is almighty. Why through blood? Death and blood, listen, death and blood had to be offered as God commanded Moses in Leviticus 17:11. Listen to what God told Moses. He says, "For the life of a creature is in the blood, and I have given it to you to make atonement for yourselves on the altar. It is the blood that makes atonement for one's life." The life is in the blood. God himself established the old covenant with the nation of Israel through the blood of animals. He said, listen, you do this. You go through this. It'll cover over the sins, and I'll withhold my wrath upon sin for a later date. Why? Because Jesus was coming. God's plan had Christ in the focus already for the new covenant. The old covenant was leading up to the perfect blood sacrifice of Jesus, the Lamb of God. We see the second thing this morning is that the blood of Jesus qualifies him as heaven's mediator for sinners. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, because the Holy Spirit applies that to our souls and washes our sins away, it qualifies Jesus as a mediator between you, Christian, and Almighty God. Verse 15 says, "For this reason, he is a mediator of a new covenant, so that since a death has taken place for the redemption of the transgressions that were committed under the first covenant, those who have been called may receive the promise of the eternal end." I love this. Sometimes that word covenant can be replaced by will. You know, a person who writes out a will for someone, that will doesn't go in effect until they die. Think about it. A covenant. Death had to come about in the old covenant by animals for that covenant to be enacted. The blood had to be spilt. The new covenant, Jesus had to die for that new covenant to be enacted for our benefit, for us to gain the inheritance of heaven. Verse 15 says, "For this reason." What reason? Because of Jesus' blood shed on the cross, he cleanses us with his blood. For this reason, Christ is a mediator of the new covenant. Because of what Jesus did on Calvary's cross, we can now go to God in prayer. We can call out to him, receive forgiveness for our sins, because Jesus is now there mediating in our behalf. Listen, you can come to me and I can pray for you, but I'm not your mediator. There's no preacher, there's no priest, there's no missionary, there's no one who mediates between you and God, Christian. Jesus is the only mediator. He is the high priest. He is the one now who hears your prayers. Well, whom is Christ mediator for? Verse 15 says, "For those who are called." And in context of this scripture, the author is writing to Jewish Christians, some who are thinking about leaving Christ and going back to that old covenant. The author is saying, listen, you have a mediator. You need to go back over there. Jesus is a mediator for those who are called. In other words, the effective call of the Holy Spirit in their life. They've heard the word. They received Christ as Savior. They have the call in their life. In context, this is who the author is writing to. But we also know in the bigger scene of things that that affects us also. That we have the mediator in heaven, Jesus Christ. And it was his blood that qualified him to be our mediator. His sacrifice on the cross. It's when we find the altar, continuously telling us, don't leave, don't fade away, don't fall away, don't drift away. Why? You don't need to go back to what you used to know, because Christ is all you need. Jesus' sacrifice also applies to all who by faith and repentance receive him around the world. Jesus is now our mediator who calls us to salvation and obedience. The third thing we see in this passage is the new covenant requires the blood of Jesus. The new covenant in Christ required Christ, everything from him, all of his life, his blood. The blood of Jesus was required for the new covenant to be in effect. We see from Hebrews chapter 9, verse 16 through 21. Verse 16 says this, "For where a covenant is, there must of necessity be the death of the one who made it." A covenant was binding by the blood of another. In case of the old covenant, the covenant was in effect symbolically through the death and sprinkling of blood of animals. Blood needs to be shed for the covenant to be put in effect. You know why you can't pay for your sins and go to heaven? It's because your blood doesn't qualify. Your blood. That's why you can't work your way into heaven. That's why you should never risk it and try to, well, you know, I'll stand before God one day and he'll weigh out my good things versus my bad things and maybe I'll get there. Doesn't work that way. There's nothing in you that qualifies you to go to heaven. There's nothing in me that qualifies me to go to heaven. We had to have Jesus, the blood of Jesus, to atone for us. It's vital. It's vital. We needed him and his blood to put the whole covenant into effect. Jesus had to go up Calvary's cross and spill his innocent blood in your behalf and in my behalf. If there's anything we grasp out of this message today, is that Jesus paid it all for you. Jesus paid it all, and it's his blood that washed your sins away. And we can sing about it, we can preach about it, but we have to internalize it and understand that Jesus did everything because there's nothing in me that even remotely God would look at and say, yeah, he's a pretty good old boy. Yeah, she's pretty good. You know, she's raised a fine family. She's done this. She's done that. None of that qualifies us for salvation. None of it. Jesus paid it all. The first covenant was not established without blood. And the new covenant in Christ required his blood to seal it between God and sinners. The fourth thing we see today is the blood of Jesus alone provides forgiveness of sin. It was his blood alone, verse 22 says, and according to the law, one may almost say, all things are cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. If Jesus had not gone to the cross for you and for me, there's no forgiveness. There's none. Our faith would be worthless, useless, if Jesus had not done for us and shed his blood for our sins. See, the only way forgiveness of sin for salvation through faith in Jesus is he had to lay down his life by shedding his blood in our behalf. Jesus is the one who sealed the new covenant belonging to God and all sinners who respond by faith and repentance. There are a lot of people who think if they go to this church for a while, if they behave themselves, if they do some benevolent causes, if they give a little money to the church, all these things will work in their behalf and they'll go to heaven. That's not the way it works. No, see, the Holy Spirit is looking for you. The Holy Spirit of God seeks you out. Jesus says, no one comes to me unless the Father draws them. The Holy Spirit is looking for sinners. It doesn't matter how bad you are, how many mistakes you've made. It doesn't matter what you've done in your life. The Holy Spirit is calling you to salvation. He sends out the call. The gospel message goes out to you about Jesus Christ being Lord. The Holy Spirit makes it effective in your life. You respond to the effective call of the gospel in Jesus Christ by faith in repentance of your sin. When you come to Christ, it's not because you were looking for Christ, it's because Christ was looking for you. He sends out the message. You respond to him by faith and repentance. From that moment on, the blood of Jesus is applied to your sins. Your sin is washed away. He has made atonement for your sin. Now you can say with certainty, I am going to heaven not because of me, not because of what I've done, but because everything that Jesus has done. Oh, it's beautiful. And listen, when the grace of God hits you and the Holy Spirit regenerates you, you won't say no. You can't say no to him. Why? Because his grace is so sweet, you won't miss it. You won't miss it. You'll want everything God has. You'll want that. You'll want it not only in your life now, not only to release that burden, not only to get rid of it, but you'll want that eternity to spend that peace with God. Oh, how beautiful it is that Jesus' blood alone forgives our sins. We don't have room to include Jesus plus religion, Jesus plus baptism, Jesus plus this, Jesus plus that. No, it's Christ and Christ alone, our salvation. You may not like to amen that, but I like to amen that. Amen, Brother Kevin. Whoo! I'm making it hard to preach this morning. Listen, only what Jesus has done in my behalf and in your behalf, only because of what Jesus has done can we be saved. And that we have security in our salvation is because of Christ. Christ holds our hand. It's not how tight we hold on to the Lord, it's how tight the Lord holds on to us. As sinners, listen, we all deserve to go to hell. And without surrendering, submitting our lives to Christ, that's exactly what will happen. Because next week we talk about judgment and judgment day. Because later on in a few verses, it's there. And we need to be much, very much aware that God loves us, but God is also a just God. God is a holy and righteous God who gives us love in His mercy. He wants to give us grace, and if we refuse that grace, divine wrath and judgment falls upon us. And we have no one else to blame but ourselves. No one. You see, we all deserve that judgment. But praise God, because of Jesus and His blood on the cross, He takes our sins upon Himself and washes them away. And we're no longer guilty. You know what we have a hard time understanding as Christians is what Jesus did on the cross pays for past sins, present sins, future sins that's never even occurred yet. He said, Brother Kevin, I don't believe that. What sins did Jesus die for on the cross? All of them. All of them. He didn't say, well, give me 100 of them and I'll cover them. Give me 1,000,000 and I'll cover that. He died for all of them. And when you're in Christ, he doesn't allow His grace to be trampled, I'll tell you that. But in Christ, past, present, and future sins are covered with the blood of Christ and washed away. The author is telling us that we need the blood of Jesus. We need it. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Do you have the blood of Jesus in your life? Has the Holy Spirit applied the blood of Christ to your sin? Do you know Him as Savior? I'm not asking you if you're a good church member. I'm not asking you what church you are going to. I'm not asking you what denomination you come from. I'm asking you, do you know Jesus? Has the Holy Spirit of God applied the blood of Jesus to your sin? That is the only way our sins are removed. Our salvation is secure, and heaven is our home. Let's pray together. Father God, today, Lord, there's so much to try to understand about how Jesus' blood was necessary. And God, there are some things we'll never understand. But we know this, that we need it applied to our life. What He did on Calvary's cross for our salvation, Lord, that's what we need. We'll spend a lifetime learning so much about you. I pray, God, that everyone in this room has received you as Savior, that they've responded to you in faith and repentance, and they truly call you Lord today. And they realize that without you, they're destined for hell. There's nothing they can do to alter that. But submit themselves to you. Surrender their sin over to you. God, help us today because we think we have to work for something. And you give us salvation as a gift. God, I pray for Christians today because we're not very much in awe of the gift that you've given to us. Because if we were in awe, God, worship would look different. There would be an excitement to be here. And if you did nothing else in our life, it's just because of what you've done already. God, stir us by your Spirit as believers. Revive us, God, to understand the great sacrifice you've made in our behalf, even though we didn't deserve it. As we have a few moments of altar time, maybe there's someone here, Lord, who just wants to get right with you. Or maybe there's someone here who just wants to say, Lord, I'm sorry that I have not been in awe of you. Have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. This altar is open to you.